With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
He got all the information.
He's got almost too much, doesn't he? He's got way too much.
I started tuning him out after a little bit.
What are you talking about? That was great information.
And Chris Ello.
The guy's out in the community buying stuff for people.
I wasn't taking a shot at
you
him.
You weren't. You know what I was doing is I was just saying that he's getting screwed by the ball.
Okay, that probably didn't come out the way you meant it to.
Probably not.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Pulliam waiting for a screen. Down the lane. A floater. Got it! Arizona State down two. Final seconds. This is Jackson. Spins around. Corner. Neal! Missed it!
And with that, the San Diego State Aztec basketball team pulled out a thriller last night. Thank you to the CBS Sports Television Network for those clips. San Diego State hangs on, beats Arizona State 65-63. Well done, kids. And the Aztecs improved to 2-1, stay over the 500 mark, something they have been for 10 consecutive years now, nearly 10 years since the last time the Aztecs were under 500. They survived last night in front of a packed house at Viejas Arena. And with that, we welcome you in to Gwen and Chris on a Friday afternoon. Tony is on vacation, so it is myself, Chris Ello, and the MVP of this program, Matt Scraby. Look, we can't get an MVP award for Fernando Tatis Jr. We're going to give one to you instead, Scraby. So we're going to hand out an award one way or the other. Scraby joins us here from our Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego. Got four full hours with you today. Going to be a good one on a Friday afternoon. Scott Miller will kick things off. We'll get his thoughts on the MVP balloting yesterday, which found Fernando Tatis Jr. finishing third in the balloting. By the way, all of you fans and listeners out there that are upset with me or upset with Scraby, because we had John Heyman on the show yesterday, and John Heyman voted Fernando Tatis Jr. fourth. Look, and you, in fact, Scraby told me that there was actually some people who said, you know what, I don't want John Heyman ever on the show again.
Yes, they,
because he voted Fernando Tatis Jr. fourth. Here, I have a little bulletin for you. If the only people that you'll allow us to have on the radio are the people that voted for Fernando Tatis first in the balloting, that means there's only two people we can ever have as guests from here on out.
And one we can't have as
guests. One is not even an option. So, yeah, there was only two people who voted for Fernando Tatis Jr. first in the ballot. And keep that in mind. So John Heyman was not alone in his vote. And, look, Fernando finished where he did. As I mentioned yesterday, I don't hold it against Fernando Tatis Jr. It was a 12-34 monumental collapse by the Padres that cost Fernando Tatis Jr. any shot at the MVP. And for those who say, well, what the team does shouldn't matter, look at what Bryce Harper's team did, look at what Juan Soto's team did, I will say this. Fernando Tatis Jr., while it wasn't his fault that the Padres went 12-34, he didn't necessarily stop it from happening either. I recall many times, Scraby, us saying, you know, Fernando's got to step up and be an MVP right now. He's got to carry them to 3 or 4 wins. He carried them to a win or two during that stretch, but it wasn't like he was red hot. Machado did okay, but neither of them did enough to keep the Padres from going 12-34 down the stretch. And anyway, look, I'm not that upset that he didn't win the MVP award, but I don't care about MVP awards. Like, they don't mean anything to me. And if he ever wins the MVP award, and I think he will one day, I want him to win it in a championship season. I want him to win it when the Padres win something. I want to have a good feeling about it. If he would have won the MVP award this year, still wouldn't have taken any of the sting out of the way they finished this season. At least not to me. What about you, Scraby? Would it have made you feel better and
yes,
all warm and fuzzy inside?
I would, because...
Really?
I still am not getting on board with this whole, well, the Phillies were in it longest
right
thing that everybody keeps
No, I don't
saying.
Think people are... saying that. I think they're saying that Bryce Harper led the league in OPS.
I just
and
don't
that's
care.
That's the number one category that people are looking
and
at.
And if you
now.
Look if you look at Bryce Harper and you look at the last few series of the season for him, he wasn't very good. So if we're going to judge people on stuff yeah. like that, then you should judge him on that. And listen, it was a really terrible year on the NL side to try to choose an MVP.
I'll be honest with you. If I would have had a vote, I would have voted for Brandon Crawford. And I think I said it throughout the season several times.
That's the definition to me as an MVP.
There were four people who did vote for Brandon Crawford. I thought the fact that the Giants had the magical season, I thought Crawford and Posey together were the main reasons they did. You could put Brandon Belt in that category. But just watching Crawford play defense and win games and come through with clutch hits throughout the season, I thought Crawford was the MVP in the National League. I didn't think any of the three guys who put up the best numbers deserved MVP. And that goes for Harper, yeah. and that goes for Fernando, and that goes for Soto.
I believe, I'm just checking, Scott Miller did. He voted for Crawford at his number one, and then he went Harper, Soto, Trey Turner, Tatis. So that's why people are a little upset with some of the writers who are ranking Tatis at fifth. But I see it as this. If we're going to have Scott Miller on the show, number one, because he's a good guy. And number two,
good baseball guy.
And number two, because...
And people are saying, wait a minute, how can you call him a good baseball guy if he voted Fernando Tatis Jr. fifth? You know why? Because Scott Miller lives here in San Diego. He saw the collapse firsthand.
He did.
And the other thing about Fernando... He didn't play very good defense this year, and I don't know that defense plays a large role in the final balloting, but I think it should play some role. And if I'm looking at shortstops this year, Brandon Crawford was a better shortstop this year than Fernando Tatis Jr. Fernando was the better slugger at the position, and you know what? He got the Silver Slugger Award. That's what he deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Fernando Tatis Jr. deserved the Silver Slugger Award for shortstops. He got it. But Brandon Crawford, I think, had a better overall year as a shortstop. All right, that's hard to say in San Diego, but I said it, and now people can load up the phones and get critical and go crazy or text me or tweet me or whatever you got to do.
You know what the thing is about Fernando not winning? This is his second year in a row that he's even been mentioned in the MVP race. In his 3 years of being a Major League Baseball player, he will... get an MVP award, most likely.
Most likely he will. Mike Trout is the only other young player of Fernando's age to finish in the top five twice in his first three years. So, yeah, I mean, Fernando's going to be right there. He's going to have plenty of other opportunities to win this thing. I'd like to see him win it in a championship season of some sort and help carry the Padres to either division title, a playoff, something of that nature. But the whole season left such a bad taste in my mouth that even Fernando winning the MVP would not have erased it. I'd rather talk about Aztec basketball because that's the one happy thing that we have in the winter months here in San Diego.
We don't have Aztec football.
Well, all right, their season's coming to a close, and we will talk about Aztec football because they play tonight, if you can stay up late enough for the game.
I can't.
I know you can't, because you're, what is it?
I go to sleep.
You're on East. You're not, you can stay up late enough.
I go to sleep.
What's your bedtime, 9 o'clock?
My bedtime usually is like 7:15.
Get out of here. You do not get out of here. But anyway, Aztec football.
I'm not going to be able to stay up and watch the whole game.
Yes, you will. Aztec football plays tonight at 8:30.
8:30 p.m.
Yeah,
people.
That would be 11:30.
If it starts on time. time.
That would be 11:30 p.m. East Coast time for those of you wondering. They play tonight against UNLV. Well, anything to get on television. What's more ridiculous, the Aztecs playing at 8:30 p.m. this week or playing at 9 a.m. next week?
That's a good debate. I think 9 a.m. next week. No one, where are they? Are they in, what time zone are they in next week?
They're in Carson. They're playing at home at 9 a.m.
They're at home at 9 a.m.? No one wants to play a football game at 9 a.m.
That's what they're doing. They're playing at 9 a.m.
That's insane.
And next Friday against Boise State so that the game can be
on
television.
You were a sideline reporter for the Aztecs for a while. Like, what time do the players start showing up? How long is the warm-ups? I mean,
well, they don't start showing up. All right, this is college football. Guys don't drive their own cars to the game.
But they have to come from the campus.
All right, what they will do is they will bus up the night before the game like they do for every home. In fact, even when they played in San Diego, the Aztecs and just about every other college football team stays in a local hotel the night before the game.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they would stay in a local hotel, but in this case, they'll bus up to Carson the night before the game. They'll have an incredibly early wake-up call, probably 5:30, 5 a.m., and they'll have to get down to the stadium early and get taped up and get ready to play. So that's just the way
it's going to be. But they're on national TV.
But they do get to be on national TV. And the difference between the 9 a.m. next week and the 8:30 p.m. game tonight is the fact that people will be able to see it.
Yeah.
Especially on the East Coast. I mean, people, that's a noontime kickoff on the East Coast. A lot of people will watch the Aztecs play
of course,
next
on a Friday.
Next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I mean, that's a prime time game, actually, at noon on the Friday after Thanksgiving on the East Coast. So,
can I revise my statement?
So now you're going to say that tonight's game is more ludicrous?
Because this one's only on CBS Sports Network, and
it's going to be on in the middle of the night. It's going to be out in the middle of the night. It's not going to start till 11:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight. All right, you got me off of what I wanted to talk about, which is the Aztec basketball team, which found a way last night. I got to give a lot of credit to the fans at Viejas Arena. They practically willed the Aztecs to that victory last night. Full house, fantastic atmosphere, and a lot of guts shown by this Aztec team last night, especially around the midway point of the second half. They fell down by 8 points, and they're down by 8, and then we had one of those idiotic, awful Mountain West Conference officials foul calls. Called on the Aztecs, Keyshawn Johnson, when he never touched the guy. Never touched him. The guy went up for a jump shot. The ball slipped out of his hands. They called a foul on Keyshawn Johnson. Matt Bradley then went over to the official and complained and said, look up at the scoreboard. That was a technical foul on Matt Bradley.
Yeah.
So now Arizona State had the lead. They had four free throws. They had the ball. The crowd was livid. The Aztecs looked like they were sunk. And the thing that I loved about the Aztecs is Brian Dutcher called a timeout. Team got together, came right back out, went on a 9-0 run and tied the game. That's impressive. When you get kicked in the mouth and you get a bad call, you can either be like me, a fan, and be upset about the bad call, or you can say, look, let's just start playing better and get back in the game.
That's what Brian Dutcher
does. That was a great job by the Aztecs, right? In that exact moment, to go on a 9-0 run after that horrible call. And I will say this again about the officials, and I'm loath to criticize officials because I have to try and do the same thing in high school games. But if you are not sure about a call, and there is no way the official could have been sure about this call because Keyshawn Johnson did not touch the guy. It was a good gap of 2 feet between he and the Arizona State kid going up for the jump shot who just lost the ball. If you're not sure, then you can't hand out a technical foul to somebody for complaining about it.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Right? You have to give a little latitude to the San Diego State kid and say, you know what? I wasn't 100% sure, but that you don't say this. But in your mind, you say to yourself as an official, well, I don't know. Maybe I missed that one. I got to at least give him the ability to be upset.
Get some thicker skin,
so,
official.
Exactly.
We don't know what he said.
Now, if I'm sure of the call, like I'm sure of it, like I saw the ball, you know, kid
you
hit the elbow,
happen, yeah.
There's no question in my mind. If I'm sure, then I'm not going to take nearly the kind of guff from a player.
Yeah.
And if a player tells me to look up the scoreboard and I'm sure, he's going to get teed up right there. But there's no way that the official in that case could have been sure. You know why I know that? because he never touched him. So there's no way he could have been sure that he did touch him. So you've got to have a little thick skin. But that beside the point, fantastic job by the Aztecs to immediately go on a 9-0 run, get back in the game, and then they did just enough at the end to win it. One thing that I'm very concerned about with this Aztec team, and I know everybody's concerned about their shooting, 6 for 21 last night, which actually for them is pretty good, 28% from three-point range. But what I'm more concerned about was the number of second-chance opportunities and points Arizona State got in this game. It was over and over and over again last night that the Aztecs could not secure rebounds and they could not finish a possession by getting the ball. And I guarantee you Brian Dutcher and his staff are going to talk about this with his kids in the next couple days before they play again. If you want to be a great defensive team, and the Aztecs are always a great defensive team. They have to be, especially this year, because they're going to be struggling on offense at least for a while. If you want to be a great defensive team, every great defensive possession ends with what, Scraby?
A rebound. Or
a rebound. Yeah. You got to get the ball.
Or a block shot or something.
No, even block shot's no good. You got to get the ball. If you block a shot and it goes right to the other guy and he lays it in, that didn't do you any good.
As long as you get the ball. Exactly.
And I think the Aztecs played really good defense last night in terms of forcing tough shots and guarding and being on their man and making it difficult on Arizona State, but they did not finish the possession, the defensive possession, by getting the ball. And that is something that Brian Dutcher and his guys have got to work on, because this Aztec team can't afford to give up extra opportunities. Why? Because they're not that good offensively.
And they need to make their free throws. They're not a very good free throw shooting team. They weren't last year.
No, and they weren't last night. They missed 9 more free throws last night, including 4 in the final couple of minutes of the game.
You make 3 of those at some point throughout the game, and you're sitting in a
different spot. You're in the clear, yeah. Arizona State missed 5, but yeah, you're right. The Aztecs missed 9. They got to do better on free throwing. But here's the thing with free throwing. You may just not be a good free throw shooting team. You may not be a good shooting team, and right now at 2-1, it's a little premature to say the Aztecs aren't going to ever get it together offensively. It's way too early in the season, but right now they are struggling to score. They're struggling to shoot threes and free throws. But the one thing you can control, or at least do a better job of controlling, is getting rebounds, boxing out, clearing the rebound, getting the ball back at the end of a good defensive possession. That is my big concern after what I saw last night. But a win is a win, and maybe the Pac-12 knows something we don't. Maybe the Pac-12 doesn't want to let the Aztecs into the conference because the Pac-12 teams can't beat the Aztecs.
It's true.
Right? That's 4 in a row now for the Aztecs in basketball over the Pac-12, and the football team has won 4 of its last 5 over the Pac-12. So maybe the Pac-12 doesn't want the Aztecs in because they keep getting whipped by them. We are underway for a Friday Chris vs. the Fans Big 5 in the 4 o'clock hour. Fun segment in the 5 o'clock hour. I'll tell you a little bit more about it, but what is the worst loss your team has ever had to endure? What is the worst loss your favorite team has ever had to endure? We're going to go through that in the 5 o'clock hour today, Daily Gambit. Fun countdown topic for a Friday evening at 6 o'clock. We'll get to that later on. Right now, though, we step aside, check some traffic, get the show rolling. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., not in today, but we will sail on without him. There he is. He may make a couple of little appearances like that. As we continue on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3, The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Without Gwen today, Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studio, San Diego, California. 3:24 is the time. Padres have selected the contracts of left-handed pitcher Mackenzie Gore, infielder Iggy Rosario, and right-handed pitchers Efrain Contreras and Steve Wilson. So all of those guys make the 40-man roster. Club outright, yeah, big round of applause. The club has outrighted outfielder Jorge Onya and right-handed pitcher Reggie Lawson to AAA. Additionally, right-handed pitcher Sean Anderson claimed off waivers by Toronto. That's for all of you Padre fans that follow the team a whole lot closer than I do.
I wouldn't admit that.
And like have the 40-man roster memorized.
I definitely don't have that.
Yeah,
either.
I definitely don't have that.
I read some stuff
either.
From Mackenzie Gore. There's an Athletic article from Dennis Lynn and talking about him, and I really liked what I heard from him. He was basically saying, like, this has been a really tough process for me.
Sure.
And it's been 5 years since he's actually been drafted, or coming up on 5 years, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But he said, like, sometimes you can go right through and you can make the major league ball club, and then sometimes you're going to not do that for years and years and years, and that's where he's stuck. And he knows he needs to play better, pitch better, be better for him to get his chance with the Padres at the major league level.
Not going to say that Mackenzie Gore is going to one day win a Cy Young, but remember that Corbin Burns was 1-8 with an ERA of 7 in his second season. That after he had gone undefeated his first season with the Brewers.
That's good.
And then just absolutely couldn't get anybody out.
Learned a new pitch.
In his second season and had to go back and figure it all out again. And voila, you have yourself a Cy Young Award winner. You never can tell. Speaking of award winners, somebody had a nice cute text today.
Tweet
today. Said, next thing we know, the Padres will actually win the World Series, and Major League Baseball still will not recognize it and vote for it.
I mean, I can understand.
Everybody is really mad about this Fernando Tatis
Jr. I can understand the feeling, because I cannot stand that Bryce Harper won the award. I'm sorry. I can't stand it.
I would have been able to handle it a lot better if Brandon Crawford won it.
Me too.
Then I could have at least, you know, made it settle in my mind that the voters decided to go with somebody who was, quote, valuable to a winning team.
There was multiple.
That I could have dealt with that.
There was multiple voters who voted Paul Goldschmidt ahead of Tatis Jr. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Well,
Paul Goldschmidt? I know that they made the playoffs, but come on, what are we doing here?
All right. What are we doing here? I don't know that. I ask you that all the time. All right. Scott Miller will be with us in about 10 minutes to discuss all of that. Voting in the MVP balloting. Some NFL notes to pass along to you on a Friday. Amari Cooper tested positive, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, COVID-19. He'll be out at least 2 games. That's because the Cowboys have a Thanksgiving game following this Sunday's game.
2 games. I didn't
read that. So
that's
a 2-game deal for Amari Cooper.
That's brutal.
Tough break for him. But you know what? He's not vaccinated.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be critical of him not being vaccinated. Yeah. What I am going to be critical is,
he's missing 2 games now.
Yeah, now you're missing 2 games. So if you don't want to get vaccinated, you have to suffer the consequences. Simple as that. Shorthanded New Orleans Saints rule out Alvin Kamara this Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. Hoping my opponent is not listening to me on the show right now.
Who's
because
that?
My opponent has Alvin Kamara this week.
Who's your opponent?
John, the guy we had on from the
Tammy
and John morning show. Yeah, good guy. And he's too smart to keep Alvin Kamara in his lineup when he's not playing. But anyway, for those of you that have Alvin Kamara, bad news. He will not be in action this week. Those of you who have Khalil Mack, if you have Khalil Mack, you are playing in a fantasy football league that I know nothing about.
I tried that 1 year.
Did you try that 1 year with defensive players?
It was tough.
Yeah, that seems like a lot to root for. But he is out for the season. Season-ending foot surgery for the Chicago Bears. Standout pass rusher. Aaron Rodgers is expected to play. He practiced today. Will play against the Vikings. Same goes for Lamar Jackson, I believe. Saw him on TV. Says he's feeling much better. He's been ill this week. Not COVID-related, apparently. But he will be playing.
His immune system is just—I mean, that guy's always sick.
Seems like he is sick quite often. Yeah. Did you hear what they said about Lamar Jackson? John Harbaugh said about him.
No.
Said, "I've never met a human being in my life in anywhere in my travels that sleeps more than Lamar Jackson."
Really?
Yeah. Said he's like the number one sleeper of all time. He said, "If I call Lamar Jackson about anything, guaranteed that I'll wake him up."
What the heck?
Yeah, sleeping all the time.
Out, Lamar.
Yeah, I know. Lamar, what? The immune system's down a little.
What's
he's sleeping all
on?
The time. What's going on with that guy? The other football note, Cam Newton will make his first start with the Carolina Panthers Sunday against the Washington football team and former Panthers coach Ron Rivera. Of course, Rivera coached Newton his first time around in Carolina. So Matt Rhule made that official today. So there's some NFL notes. Of course, last night, just a lousy football game if you're anybody but a New England Patriots fan. 25-0 Patriots shut down the Atlanta Falcons to kick off week 11. Scraby, we don't have enough time to get into this conversation right now, but are you buying into the Mac Jones hype? The Mac attack is now being called one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of pro football, and I think it's a little early.
Well, they crowned, I think Dan Orlovsky said that Justin Herbert's a Hall of Famer like earlier this season, and then
yeah,
look what happened.
He hasn't completed a pass since then.
Am I buying into it? I think that he is showing promise, but he has a long way to go. He's
very
not going to win a game.
Very
for a
good,
team.
Scraby. Very good. Absolutely. Mac Jones has shown promise. He's done the things that the Patriots have asked of him, which is manage the team. He makes some good plays, you know,
they
when need be.
Spots.
But most of the Patriots' victories this year, most of them, not everything, but most of them have been a result of their fantastic Bill Belichick run defense. And last night, the defense completely shut down Atlanta. The week before, they completely shut down Cleveland. Bill Belichick, just reminding any of us who might have forgotten that he could be one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time.
Is it possible that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are the greatest in their particular positions?
Yes, both things can be true.
Because it's
both
starting to feel that way. It's starting to feel that way.
Both things can be true. I mean, that's why I found it always comical that everybody was always arguing about who's more important to the team. They're both important, and they're both incredibly great. And Brady's gone on to win a Super Bowl, and now Belichick's going on and doing what he's doing. So 25-0 for the Patriots last night to kick off week 11 of the
poor
NFL.
Adam.
Oh, don't poor Adam me. Our boss is from Atlanta, and he loves all the Atlanta teams. He's got his World Series. He's got Georgia number one in the nation. He's got plenty right now.
Right.
I'm not giving a poor Adam out right now.
I texted him because
I'd be more than happy to trade with Adam and have a bad football team and have a World Series champ on my hands and a number one team in college football. That seems like a good deal.
That does seem like a good deal. But before he left yesterday, I was like, just be positive, Adam. You know, you never know what could happen. And then I texted him last night. I said, I take away everything positive.
I don't take away everything he said. As you like to say, he was so negative that it transferred to his football team last night.
No, they've scored 3 points in the last 2 weeks. So.
Oh, so you don't think when he's negative, you don't think it has anything to do with the team performance?
No.
When I'm negative, you think it's all my fault?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
the
down.
Fair world
that's
in which we live
down.
In. Yeah, that's how things go down on this program. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. Scott Miller joins us. Find out why Fernando Tatis Jr. finished third in the NL MVP balloting. What went wrong for Fernando? Scott Miller, when we come back on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, welcome back to the program. 3:38 is the time. Casella, Matt Scraby today. Tony Gwynn Jr. is on vacation this hour on 97.3 The Fan. Brought to you by Pfizer. Come rain or come shine. High winds, mild breezes, blue skies or gray. It's a great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19. This is brought to you by our friends at BioNTech and Pfizer. Note to Amari Cooper and others out there.
No.
Oh, sorry about that. I just couldn't help myself. All right, 3:39 is the time. Scraby and I looked far and wide, high and deep, and everywhere we could, trying to find somebody who voted Fernando Tatis Jr. number one in the MVP balloting. Unfortunately, there's only two people on the planet who did that, and neither of them are on right now. Instead, we have one of our all-time favorite baseball guys, Mr. Scott Miller, joining us here on 97.3 The Fan, the premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Scott, how are you today?
What? Traffic, I'm sorry to
cut you off. Scott, hang on a second.
We gotta
let people know where to go driving.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Scott Miller indeed joins us here on the Gwen and Chris program. Scott Miller, always a great pleasure. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, Chris. How are you, Matt? You guys good?
Yes. We're good. Happy holidays to you and Kim and the Miller clan. Thought I'd wish you something nice, since I apparently nobody's wishing you anything nice on Twitter these days. It really is. Are you amazed? Are you really amazed to a certain extent just how personal some of these fans take an MVP vote?
You know, this isn't the first time they've come after me. You know, a few years back, I had Joey Votto lower than people in Cincinnati thought I should have had him on the MVP vote. And I got all kinds of Valentines from Cincinnati over that one. I've had Hall of Fame votes every single year anymore. I don't vote for steroid guys, so I get all the people that think Bonds and Clemens and those guys should be in the Hall of Fame. They all come at me. So, you know, it's par for the course. I'm not surprised, I guess, sadly, because it's quick knee-jerk reaction. But, you know, to set the record straight on a couple of items.
Yes.
Number one, this is based on, you know, first of all, a lot of the people come at you on Twitter. It's all noise. It's just noise. You know, I find it interesting that, you know, not all of them, but some of them, you look and it's like, well, the guy's got 7 followers or something, you know, so I don't know if it's just sign up to rip you. But, you know, to set the record straight, a couple of things. One, you know, I've been one of the big complaints that seems to be on I've gotten are, you know, you're a way to represent San Diego. You know, you're a local guy. You know, you should be supporting the Padres.
Should automatically vote for the Padre guy.
Right. I mean, I do support the Padres. I wish them well. I'm in a lot of their games. I love Fernando Tatis Jr. But as a journalist, as a reporter, your job is not to wave pom-poms and be a cheerleader and represent the local guys. Your job is to try to be, to maintain objectivity and see things objectively. And so that's first thing. You know, second thing, I've had a lot of people invite me to leave San Diego. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but I appreciate all the sentiment.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Well, Scott Miller did not vote Fernando Tatis Jr. for MVP, but you're not alone. Like I said, only 2 people gave him the number one vote. Here's the thing, Scott, that I want to ask, because I think it had to be the hardest thing, and especially for you, you know, living in San Diego and seeing so much of the Padres. How do you separate the 12-34 collapse from what Fernando Tatis Jr. statistically was doing over the final third of the season? I felt it's not like he fell off that badly, but at the same time, he didn't exactly carry the team through that miserable stretch either. So how do you separate the team from the player?
Yeah, and that's kind of the crux of a lot of it, Chris, and it's a good question. And that's where it gets tricky on Hall of Fame, on Most Valuable Player voting as well, because, you know, there's not a clear definition, so different voters look at different things. And I've always felt that it's hard to separate the player from the team. The reason being, look, this is not a Player of the Year award. It's a Most Valuable Player award, and they're two separate things. If it was Player of the Year under that category, I strip away everything team related. I just look at who's the best player. But Most Valuable Player, the word valuable brings with it team responsibilities, and that's why, you know, I did have Brandon Crawford number one on my MVP ballot, and I know I was one of 4 people who did out of 30. So obviously I was in the minority there, but you know, Brandon Crawford, best player on the best team in the National League. I mean, you know, that's just bottom line. And also defense. I mean, that guy was a wizard. He made the pitching staff better. And you know, Fernando's great, but in different ways. And obviously it's no secret. What do you have? 21 errors or something like that, especially early. He committed a lot. It's not just about numbers, offensive numbers. It's the whole game. And you know, you look at defense. So that's one reason I went with Brandon Crawford, number one. Now, that ties to your question about Fernando Tatis and the team. It's hard to separate, based on what I said, not a Player of the Year award, Most Valuable Player award. It's hard to go with a guy that finished 28 games out of first place. With a team that finished 28 games out of first place. And within that, as the collapse was happening over the last 2 months, remember, he was moved away from shortstop into the outfield for good reasons to try to keep him healthy and on the field. But it removed him from a key position in the infield and in the outfield. He didn't affect games nearly as much. Number two, he clearly wasn't on board with that move. He did not bring the same energy the last 2 months of the year, or at least some of that, but much of that time. And I think that ties in both with his, in terms of the MVP candidacy, it ties in both with the team performance and with his own performance. And, you know, you have to look at the showdown in the dugout when Manny Machado and the coaches aired him out saying, this isn't about you, it's about the team. I mean, I didn't give him huge demerits for that. But again, most valuable player, valuable meaning value to a team, versus player of the year. MVPs don't get aired out in a dugout for thinking of themselves instead of the team. You know, Fernando Tatis is a great talent. I love him. He's going to be have. I think he's going to win an MVP award before he's done. Probably multiple MVPs. He's to me the most exciting player in the game. But other players are pretty good too. You know, they're like Jim Leland used to say.
No, that doesn't count, Scott. You're only supposed to look at one guy. Come on.
I know. I love. You know, Jim Leland used to say when his hitters got mowed down and they'd lose a game, you know, he'd say, you know what, the pitchers, they drive Cadillacs too. And in my case, number one on my ballot was Brandon Crawford. Number two was Bryce Harper. Number three was Juan Soto. Number four was Trey Turner. And Fernando Tatis, five. That's still pretty good company. The other guys are pretty good too. And along the lines of setting some things straight, which I'm happy to do. And by the way, a number of the Twitter things, I love it. They challenged me on Twitter saying, you owe us an explanation. You need to defend your, you know, whatever, you know, explain yourself. Very, very happy to do it. I've been doing this 30 years. I firmly believe in full transparency on the ballot. As you guys know, I come on the radio almost as whenever I'm asked, if I can, I'm very happy to discuss these kind of things. So I got a kick out of the explain yourself demands. I'm like, okay, fine, I'm happy to. And as to those who question how Trey Turner could be above Fernando Tatis Jr., again, Trey Turner led the National League in total bases. He led the – I know we don't value batting average like we once did, although let's not – quite go down that road completely in the town in which Tony Gwynn won batting title after batting title.
That's right.
Trey Turner won the batting title in the National League, right? He won the batting title. He had total bases, number one in the National League. He led the league in stolen bases. And he's the Dodgers down the stretch after that trade, 106 wins. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, that is pretty darn good. Scott Miller joining us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, Gwynn and Chris. And we talked to John Heyman yesterday, and I asked him about Fernando and his injury, like how much time he spent on the IL. And he said it didn't really weigh into his decision too much. And I'm not going to ask you that same question, but if, say, the Padres, you know, Fernando's going to go into next year not getting that shoulder surgery, so he may miss some more time. If the Padres, like, is he able to win an MVP if he plays the same amount of games that he played this year? If say, the Padres make the wild card next year?
I think it's possible. A couple things, Matt. That's a really good question. And a couple of things would have to happen. Number one, he'd have to post numbers like he did this year or higher. If you're going to miss 32 games, he played 130, I believe, right? 130?
Yeah.
If you're going to miss 32 games, your numbers had better be way off the charts. So that's the first thing that has to happen next year. If to your point, if he misses a bunch of time for shoulder surgery, because that's something else. You know, you like, as a voter, you like guys that post. And Tatis did miss a bunch of time. But I think the combination of he can win it by playing that 130 games if his numbers are off the charts, and again, because it's most valuable player, not player of the year, if while his numbers are off the charts, it pushes his team into contention, I think he can win. I think no. Now, if he misses 32 games and his team is 28 games out of first place again, it's going to be really hard to miss. I mean, for him to win. But I didn't knock him a ton for the missed games. That factored into it, no question. But one other point to make to your question, Matt. Brandon Crawford, I had him number one on my ballot, right? 138 games. Mm. I mean, they strategically rested him, you know, to keep him productive and healthy because he's an older player, Brandon Crawford. And, you know, I think, again, best player on the best team in the league, 107 wins. You don't see 107-win teams every year. That's one big reason why I gave Brandon all kinds of props. But 138 games, that's a little bit light. Now, the other stuff for me tied into it, but again, back to your question, I mean, you know, you can win an MVP, I think, you know, playing 130 or 138 games, but some other things have to happen.
Scott Miller's with us talking baseball, and I got one last thing, Scott, on this MVP subject, and really appreciate your insight's great, and your knowledge is fantastic, and you know what, I didn't get a vote, but on this show many times I went with Brandon Crawford, and the reason I did is because he was so spectacular on such a spectacular team, so yep. I could have dealt with it a little better had he won the MVP, but he didn't. Bryce Harper did, and his team missed the playoffs as well. So yep. I know I'm asking a Brandon Crawford voter this, but what do you think carried Bryce Harper past Fernando so that he won the award?
You know, I think his second half really opened some eyes. His second half numbers, OPS, slugging percentage, home runs. You know, he almost put the Phillies on his back, and I think that weighed big with a lot of voters when they saw that it was Harper pretty much putting the team on his back down the stretch run. But that's where it gets tricky too, right? Because it's a full season. You know, it's like the teams that tie for first place with one game left and the team loses. And it's like, oh my God, that 162nd game really cost him. Well, like people tell you in baseball, you can lose a pennant in April as well as September. You know, those losses in April count just as much as the losses in September.
Yeah.
And I look at that with Bryce Harper. I mean, you know, he had a good first half, but I think the second half is what really got the voters' attention. And, you know, I would have liked it a little bit better and maybe even voted him number one had he been a little more consistent all the way through rather than, you know, but that said, it's splitting hairs. I mean, his second half was incredible, and he darn near did it. You know, he darn near carried the Phillies into the postseason.
There he is, Scott Miller. What is your Twitter handle, Scott, so that anybody who wants to criticize you that hasn't yet can still find you?
Don't expect them to do that.
I wouldn't want him to miss on any of the entertainment that he gets by reading these things.
That's right. It's at Scott Miller BBL, like baseball, at Scott Miller BBL. All comments are welcome. You know, some of the language that's been used in the last 24 hours,
can imagine.
It'd be nice if it would be cut down a little bit, you know, but, you know, look, we can all agree on some things, disagree on other things, but bottom line is, you know, look, as I said, a reporter's job is not to wave pom-poms for the local guys, and a reporter's job is to be well informed, and hopefully, as I just talked you through my ballot, you'll see it wasn't just slapped together in 5 minutes.
No, I'm sure it wasn't. Scott Miller, thank you. I do hear that Bozeman, Montana is very nice this time of year if you and Kim and the family are looking to move out of town, as people are suggesting. Scott, we'll talk to you again, man.
Out.
Have a great holiday.
All right, you too, Chris, man.
Thanks, Scott. All right, Scott Miller right there on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall Chevrolet. Find new roads. Phone number, 833-288-0973. That'll come in handy if you want to play Chris versus the Fans, which is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.